Heavenly Father, thank you this night, Lord, and thank you for bringing it together, Lord, and thank you for every head that's covered and presenting the household, represent the Lord, bless each and every one, Lord, and pray for those people who can make it out tonight, bless them also, Lord, and beyond them, bring them out to the church at the next point in time, Lord, and Lord, give us this night, Lord, and Lord, send your spirit, Lord, and use it, and Christy, Lord, and all the people at church, Lord, to be reminded of the sacrifice on the cross, Lord, and also that Jesus is the only one that saves, Lord, and saves eternally for all time, Lord. And Lord, see us close, Lord, and pray for us and keep us, Lord, and Lord, pray for the churches throughout the land, throughout the world, Lord, are going to even churches even at this time or later, Lord, or have even done so, Lord. Bless them, Lord, and pray for the persecuted church, especially as Christians preach in Acts, Lord, and pray for the persecuted church throughout the lands where following Christ is a crime, Lord, punishable by death, or serious consequence. Pray for those people, give them grace, Lord, give them the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, and bless them, give them the gifts that we do not know that they need, but what they need, Lord, provide for it and provide for it liberally. Pray for us this night, Lord, bless our service, Lord, may we be accepted on this night for thy honour, for our glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. We'll start with hymn number 340. Just to keep the peace. Take a few favourites. 397, and you can stand for this one.
In the harvest field, I rise. Jesus' name, does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. When God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child beloved. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
And you can be seated. Why would you come in?
Good night. Turn tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work of that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, behold, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon those we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And will one member suffer, all the members suffer with it? Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it? Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do you all speak with tongues? Do you all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a quick reminder of our prayer requests. If you want to pray for the folks that are in the church and on the prayer list, grab one of those. There's a lot of names there. There's a lot of prayer requests. And I would just ask that you would, even once in the week, that you would call out those names to God and that you would lift them up, because we're not all here today. We're missing quite a few folks. But even if us that were here were prayed for all of those people, everybody would be prayed for once every day of the week. And I would like to think that it wasn't just me calling out my name. God, would you look after me? It'd be nice to have my name called out by other people as the week goes on. So don't forget that. I just want to bring to your attention, and I know it's a subject that is very close to all of our hearts, those that have lost loved ones recently. Dorothy Cardwell, please pray for the Cardwell family in Portadown. Please don't forget the Ritchies as well. Norman too. And the Cairns family. They have all lost loved ones in the very, very recent past. And I am sure everybody is missing their nearest and dearest. Not the only good thing. There are many good things about saved souls going on to heaven. Their suffering on this earth is done. We know that we'll see them again and they're in good hands. Please do pray for, especially in this regard, for Kate Cairns. She's not saved. I would like to think her husband did make a last-minute profession of faith, but please do pray for Kate Cairns. Don't forget each other. Pray for Christy this evening. He's bringing us the message. He's continuing on his Bible study in Acts 8, isn't it? Finishing that part of the Word of God tonight. We're glad to have William with us. We're glad to have Lucas with us, and Aaron and David as well, and the diehards. Glad to be here. Christine would have liked to have been here, but she's not feeling 100% today. And I would ask that you would continue to pray for me, even though my rugged good looks are still in evidence and I seem to be the picture of health. I'm still having bad days, and I would appreciate your prayers. But the most important thing is pray for those that are lost. Pray for our country and those that are leading it. There is a very, very real need for that right now. Don't forget Pat and Steve and Norman. We missed them this morning. And do pray for all of those that have slipped and slid over the years. I think that's about me. I don't think there are any other prayer requests. Is there anything we need to be praying about? Pray for Esther, that she, things die down enough for her to be able to join us. The same for Pat and Steve. They'd love to be back. And if you get a chance, drop them a text or a line during the week. Steve, it's long days whenever you're sitting indoors looking at the same four walls. Same for Esther. I'm sure Esther wouldn't mind getting a text or a call from you. So please do that as well. I certainly don't mind getting a text or a call from you. So you can do that too. But if I don't get back to you right away, it's because I'm doing something. But please do remember that. One thing we haven't mentioned in a little bit is the purchase of the church land. Haven't heard anything from the Charity Commission, and I only heard from Ebrington Presbyterian there, I think it was, about 3 weeks ago, to say they were still hopeful that everything would go ahead. So something to bear in mind as you call out names and subjects and things that need God's touch in the halls of heaven. I think that's about that. I think I'll even pray at this particular time, ask God about those prayer requests and many others, and then we'll hand the service back to Christy. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for the life and health and strength that you've given us, for the wherewithal to do the service this morning. I thank you again for Christy, for the very real help and the interest in Bible studies on the church through the book of Acts. And I pray, Lord, that you would inspire him this evening, and Lord, that you would give him a great freedom
the words to speak. Please be with all of the souls that we mentioned, Lord, our absent brethren, those that have gone by the wayside, Father, and those, Lord, that just couldn't be here. Maybe their health's just not what it could be. I pray you, Father, please, that you would touch and comfort and give portions of grace, Lord, and lift them up as well. Lord, would you even heal them? I pray you, please. We remember the leaders of our country. There's Boris Johnson, Arlene Foster, and the other, Nicola Sturgeon, and whoever's looking after Wales right now, Lord, for Donald Trump and the folks in America, for Israel, for Russia, for Australia, for Canada, for the EU, for Africa, India, China, North and South Korea, Lord, Sri Lanka, Japan, all New Zealand, and there are many other countries in this world. Lord, please, please work in people's hearts and minds. Please save souls. Lord, please don't let them go. Don't let them make a bad decision without being greatly convicted about it first. And please, Lord, make Israel bulletproof. Look after them and bless them and keep them, Lord. Just thank you for watching over us. Thank you that we have the freedom to be here, Lord. And I pray you, Father, that you would be with us in the church service and that you would spend time with each one of us. And I know you could do that for all of us at the same time. And that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, about the words of eternal life, about the words of this temporal life too. Thank you for Christy, for his dedication and his faithfulness. Lord, just set a wall about him, keep his mind clear, put the words in the tip of his tongue, and bless his time in the pulpit, Lord. Thank you for him. Bless us all, Lord, I pray you. And we ask for this, our private prayer requests, and Lord, all the thoughts and desires of our hearts, Lord, we lay before you. Sort them, Lord, and turf out those that are bad, and keep those that are good. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Brother, thank you. God bless you.
Take a favourite from one of the back benches. Not the very back, but the back with people in them. Favourite hymn from either of the hymn books. There'll be one more after this. We'll take it from the other bench, and then Mark probably can close the, or Monica, doesn't matter, but the front bench can close the service then. Something wrong.
something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Like how the Word of God is a lamp. A lamp and a light, their pathway and their feet. No, you can't. What am I doing there? Another hymn. But there's, they say that if you eat carrots, it helps you see better in the dark. But there's no such thing as spiritual carrots. They help you see in the dark. It's only the Word of God. So keep it open and shine your light. Yes. David, you're looking in the black book. Have you got one?
Number nine.
Do we know? Okay. Number 9, and I'm sure you'll want to stand this last time before we get into our message, so you're welcome to do so.
High do.
will be good to meet in that morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We're starting from verse 26 this evening. And our topic is the seeking church. The seeking church. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read from 26 through 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this freedom that we have and are enjoying this evening, for the good singing, for those good old songs, and Lord, especially now for this time around your word. Please, Lord, set a wall around about us. Keep our thoughts and notions of everything that's going on out in the world or on TV, Lord, just keep them at bay. I know, Lord, the devil can be in any building, and I know he would just love to be here causing bother with us tonight. Please, Lord, keep him at the door. Deafen our ears to his calls and the temptations and lusts of the world, Lord, and let us just consider this a very precious gift, Lord, this time around your word. Bless Christy as he reads and preaches, give him the words to say. I pray you, Lord, that our ears would be found to be open, that our minds would be switched on, that we would indeed be reasoning with you and with him. Lord, we want to know more about you. We want to be smarter and sharper in this world. And Lord, we just pray in this evening that you would supply our needs. Be with the teachers and preachers of your word right the way around the world tonight, Lord, and bless those that have nothing but the best in their hearts and minds for those that hear them. For those that are making merchandise of your word, Lord, I pray that you would withstand them at every turn. Lord, we have so much to thank you for and so many things to ask you, but I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time around your word this evening. Bless Christy again, and each one of us too. And we ask it all, Lord, please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. It is good to be in church. It's good to have a church in these days, but it's also good to be the church. Mm-hmm. Part of the invisible church is well read. We're all members of the one body. But I am a cynic, I'm a critic of the church. I believe that we have strayed far from what the original early church was. Hence the reason for the study in the book of Acts, just to see exactly what the early church was and some of the characteristics. Tonight we're focusing on the seeking church. Last week's study was just previous verses in chapter 8. It was the priceless church. It was where Simon the sorcerer had seen the effects of salvation coming to his land, the miracles that the apostles were able to do. And when they laid hands on those that believed that they received the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy this power to give people the Holy Spirit and have that authority over them like he had done with all the sorceries and witchcrafts and wizardry of the day. He had fooled many people, but he himself came to believe. Which then leads us to this point. The church, the persecution of the church has intensified. Stephen has been killed and crucified. Paul has caused havoc throughout the land of Jerusalem. And the church has been scattered at this point. As they scatter, Philip is led to Samaria. He preaches Christ to the Samaritans. The souls there hear his words and believe them. And the Lord blessed the ministry there for Philip's faithfulness. Philip then here in our text, in our opening verse, he is led of the Spirit, or the angel of the Lord, as it says, speaks to him and says, arise, and you know that road that's going from Jerusalem to Gaza down south? I want you to take that road. And he arises right away and he goes. No negotiation, no hindrance, no, Lord, not today, I'm too busy today. You know, the work's here and I need to be here. One might think that Philip would object to such a request of the Lord when souls were getting saved. New Christians have just joined the church, literally, and need some teaching and preaching and some discipleship. They need some just a helping hand to understand the milk of the word. Here, Philip, he doesn't object. He goes. Some would almost hear the call and think, surely this is Satan. You know, I'm in the midst of a new ministry. It is booming. Souls are hearing the word of God. They're eating it up. They've just received the Holy Spirit. They're wanting to work. And here we have the Lord saying, I need you to go somewhere else. I think us in our carnal minds would say, surely that's the devil trying to get me away and ruin this work. But it wasn't. Philip was a frontline man in that work, almost indispensable to that work. But at that very moment, when we think that we're indispensable to something, God calls us somewhere else and guides us on another path. But he obeys and he obliges. He goes and he beholds a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a government official. Normally eunuchs are castrated and just solely focused on the service of their office. He had charge over all the queen of the Ethiopians' treasures, it says. So a man of high authority, and he was at Jerusalem to worship. Now I don't know why he was there to worship. Was it the fact that he couldn't be seen amongst his people as a government official worshipping the God of the Jews in Judaism? I don't know. I just know. Or maybe he heard that the church was booming and they had heard that Jesus had died, but the apostles were on fire for the Lord, preaching the word of God. And he had heard the difference in the miracles that had been happening and wanted to see it and be a part of it. He was on his way back home. And Philip, led by the Spirit, bumps into him on that path. In verse 28, and the chariot was reading scripture. He was reading Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. The Spirit then speaks to Philip again, and he says, go near and join thyself to thy chariot. Now this is a government official. This is a man who probably traveled with scores of men. This is a man who's high up in the land on a chariot. Philip wasn't intimidated by this at all, and it took an act of boldness for Philip just to go straight up and talk to this man, this government official. And he did it. He didn't bargain with God and say, Lord, do you really want me to talk to this powerful man? Do you really think he's going to accept you? He ran, it says in verse 30, the first three words, and Philip ran. He's seen the opportunity to serve and obey, and he ran towards it. Yet we today in the church, we have trouble even walking towards service. We're crawling on our knees sometimes, backwards almost all the time, thinking, Lord, I'll do it tomorrow, or Lord, I'm too busy, or Lord, I have too much responsibility as it is. Get someone else to take care of that. But he ran up and he heard this Ethiopian eunuch reading out of Isaiah. And he says, do you know what you're reading? Can you understand what you're reading there? And the Ethiopian, honest as all get out, many men in their pride would have said, of course I understand it. Do you know who I am? But he was truly seeking. He was truly seeking and says, how can I understand this? He hadn't yet believed. He didn't have the Spirit at this point. So how could he understand it? Philip's there, and the eunuch asks Philip to come with him. Come up and sit with me. And then it tells us that he's reading in Isaiah 53 all about that suffering servant, that Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and all that he would do. Philip sees the scripture, reads it, and he expounds it to him. Excuse me. And he preached Jesus. See, there was no politics here in this argument. And we get hung up in politics and we think we get to the doors around and, or even just in company of our friends and we're there to be the Christian and politics come up and we try to win the argument. But we lose the soul. Instead of winning the argument, why don't we just forego that and get back to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Get back to Jesus. Because you can win the argument, but it's all at a loss eternally if we lost the soul. Politics didn't separate them. Land and borders didn't separate them here, or race either. Philip just seen a man in need and seeking. And he was there to fulfill it. He preached Jesus. There was no fancy words. He had probably told them about all that he had seen walking and talking with Jesus. All that he had seen through the apostles' works. And how they were running scared as Jesus was crucified. And then after meeting him resurrected, they gained the strength, and here the church started to move and grow. God's calling for Philip here was to go on a lowly, lonely, deserted road. It wasn't for the fame, fortune, and the masses of people in Samaria. Yes, he was there and he started the work, but as soon as God called, he moved on. But today we have a bunch of preachers and teachers. Not all, let me tell you, but I do know some. You could just probably look them up on Facebook and you could tell for yourself. They're always promoting themselves, always looking, and that's okay. But if that's your be-all and end-all, then you're on the wrong path. And it doesn't take away, God does call some people to large churches and the masses of believers. And that I am fully fine with that. I'm not against a man pastoring a large church. I'm for it. Albeit with all the trouble that it'll bring. But God bless you on your way if he's called you to it. But it doesn't take away from the faithful servant who walks the lonely, dreary, deserted path faithfully to serve the Lord just to win that one soul. And this was just for one soul. This wasn't for the whole country or the whole city that had happened in Samaria. And hence the choice of the hymn, Little is Much When God is in It. But God's calling for our lives is for us to follow his Son. It's for us to have concern for the lost. Just to love the brethren. And for us to meet the needs of the aforementioned, both aforementioned groups there. Missionary Society once wrote to David Livingstone. They asked him, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send others to join you. David Livingstone wrote them back and said, if you have men who will only come when there's a good path, I don't want them. I want men who's willing to come when there's no path at all. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes God will call you where it looks like there's no one been before. And this was what happened here in this occurrence when Philip was called to this path along Gaza. Now just remember that the gospel is just spread at this stage beyond the borders of Jerusalem into Samaria and Caesarea. And here Philip finds himself on a road between Jerusalem and Gaza in the south. But there is an old saying, and many preachers have this picture in the desert of a couple of rocks, and there's a little flower growing up in between the rocks. And it's always captioned, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. You see, Philip made a difference right where God put him. He gave all the answers. He preached the word of God. He was that testimony. He was faithful. He didn't shy away. He didn't take the path of least resistance, which would have been to walk on by like all those men did in the account of the Good Samaritan. I was about to say the Great Samaritan. I was thinking great for some reason. But of the Good Samaritan, no, he seen what God wanted him to do and he charged it down. He charged at that wall because he knows that by his God he can jump over a wall. But he sought out how he could help. This was a church member who was seeking. He was seeking for a lost soul. He was a soul winner by all accounts. And he didn't care about his own reputation. If he did, he would have been back in Samaria. He would have been leading the charge as the apostles joined and saying, "Here, this is my show. You came late here. I'm the one that started this." But nope, as soon as God called and said, "It's time," well, then he went. But sometimes we're going to be called to do things that other Christians haven't done yet. And we need to just obey and be faithful in that. Sometimes it is just blazing the trail for someone else to follow. I know of missionaries who were sent out to a foreign land, a mission family. And they were on the plane and the plane went down. And everyone thought it was a great disaster. God took them home. But that land had never had missionaries before that family went to go there. And what a catastrophe that these missionaries that were willing to go, and yet now this land is still unreached. But on the back of their death, I think there was flocks of people that went to that land to reach those people. And that was their service, was to be on that plane and be in that crash and go home to the Lord so that others could step up and start walking the walk. You'll be glad to hear tonight, I only have 3 sizes of A4, but there's still plenty to get through. This to me shows God's concern for the lost. He said, "Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that's still the case today. And as a church, that's still our mantra. That's still our modus operandi. Isn't that what they say? That's the reason for being, is to go out there and to seek those that are lost. There are still souls like this Ethiopian eunuch that, yes, they're amongst the crowd, and yes, they're amongst the other side, if you like, but they're still truly seeking. They're still truly seeking. They're searching out the scriptures. And if the true church doesn't get there to them, well, the devil's church will sure get there. Verse 37, I just want to make a point. As he believes, and after he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, they come to water, and the eunuch says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And this verse 37, many other translations take this out. It's been a great controversy throughout all church history, was baptism. And infant baptism was the order of the day, and still is the order of the day for many churches. And hence the reason that this is taken out. But here's the recipe for you to be able to get baptized. It says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you have been to the cross of Calvary, if you have received Him as your Savior, Lord and friend, then you can be baptized. That's the one way that there is. There's no sprinkling of the child's head that will get it into heaven. And I was baptized as a child through the religion that I was birthed into. Didn't make a sort of a difference. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life at that stage, but that's just because I was under grace as a child. Not because there was some man in a gown making a cross symbol on top of my head. But they take it out because they're not for believers' baptism. Mm-hmm. This account of the early church, of the Ethiopian eunuch joining the called out assembly of believers, the invisible church, shows that God is concerned for the lost. It doesn't matter if there is 100,000 in the land or if there's one man who's truly seeking, God is concerned and cares for the lost. He loved this Ethiopian eunuch, that he took the man that started the work in Samaria and put him on the path to reach him. He tread that lonely, dreary path. There was no one following Philip here and going with him to support him. This wasn't a go out in your 2x2s. This wasn't a go out in your church and, you know, other churches and other lands coming to help you start this work. This was just a man on his own, obeying the Lord and the call that was upon his life. God loved the Ethiopian eunuch so much that he sent the soul winner by to proclaim unto him the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And thank God for Philip's faithfulness. We can learn a lesson from Philip today that, yes, whilst there is money to be made in the masses, whilst there is popularity to be had in other lands, the that there is only treasure in eternity for those that faithfully walk the road that God has set out for us. God knows the intents of hearts. He knows the thoughts of the mind. But not only was Philip faithful, he was skillful. He preached. He was able to take Isaiah 53 and skillfully wield that sword to trim away the doubts, to trim away the confusion, to trim away any other religion that this Ethiopian eunuch had ingrained in him as a child, from a child up. He had studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And he was rightfully dividing the word of truth here. Not only do we need to be faithful friends as a seeking church, we need to be seeking out how we can reach the lost through God's word. Taking each word that there is and just challenging yourself. How would I teach this to a lost man? How would I preach this portion to a lost soul who truly asked me a question? And Philip was capable. And that just doesn't come by accident. It comes by reading, by studying, and by much prayer. And maybe even just bouncing it off someone else that's older in the faith and saying, what's your take on this? Reading up around it, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. We're turning and we're reading in Luke chapter 15. And here Jesus truly gave the thoughts of his own heart and God's heart. Reading verses 1 through 10. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. As a church, I would like each of us to remember that we were once in Jerusalem on the way back home seeking God. That God sent someone who was looking after the 99 to seek out you, that one that was lost, to complete the fold. So when God calls us as a church again to meet the needs or just to reach a lost soul, keep in mind that he's not only working on you like he was working on Philip, but he was also guiding the steps of the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch didn't know it at this stage, but God had him there so that he would cross paths with Philip to come into contact with the Word of God. So if God's working on you, he's working on the other side as well of who he's wanting you to reach. Goes on. Verse 39, it says, And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And there's a bit of to and fro and about this caught away business, but my opinion on it is that the Spirit literally raptured him away to another point where he needs. I think that you can't look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and say that the church is going to be caught away and say that's a rapture and not say that the Spirit used the same words here and say this wasn't raptured. Many people say that, oh, he just called him somewhere else and told him to go. But it says that the eunuch seen him no more after he was in the water with him. But if he got out of the water and walked away from the eunuch would have seen him. If he had rejoiced with the eunuch for a while, the eunuch would have seen him still. So I believe that the Spirit performed this miracle as well in front of the eunuch. But I would like also to mention at this point, there is no apostles laying on of hands here at the eunuch. That this was a one-time event. Remember last week we had talked about these souls in Samaria who hadn't received the Spirit yet? It was a transition, is what we had got to, that the Jews needed to see that the Lord was working outside Jerusalem to confirm it for their own testimony rather than for those souls who just received Christ. So once that transition was made and the Jews were aware of the day that God was working and the gospel and salvation was now open to the Gentiles as well, there was no more need for the laying on of hands for the salvation. Here it was, once you believe, you receive the Spirit, and that's it. And that's the way it's been ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And so the transition has been complete, and you receive the Holy Spirit on your confession of your sin and your asking of forgiveness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Philip, he was found at Azotus, and everywhere he went in all the cities, he was preaching all the way along. There's one more thing as a church I think we need to be seeking, or God seeking from the church. We're turning to Ezekiel 22. Not only as a church should we be seeking lost souls or Ethiopian eunuchs, but as a church we should be seeking Philips, those ones who are looking to just obey and go along that road. 22 and reading verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We are those that make up the hedge today for those lost souls. Many times Moses ran to intercede for the children of Israel when God was about to destroy them in the wilderness. He ran and prayed, and it says God repented of the evil that he was going to do unto them. He changed his mind and gave them one more chance. Moses said multiple times, "Lord, if you do this, the Egyptians are just going to say that you brought us out here to kill us."
Mm-hmm.
We are those interceders today. And we can stand in the gap. We can be that bridge that brings the lost to the cross and makes them a part of this invisible church and gets their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there aren't many today that's willing to make up the gap, that's willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. As you couldn't find any in that day, there's very few, if any, that the church has found today. And it's sad. It's a sad thing, but let us purpose in our hearts to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap, to prepare for those souls that we know to be a part of this church, to be a part of not Bethel Baptist Church. If they do, well, amen, but to be a part of the Church of Christ, the Bride of Christ. Start praying for their salvation and just be that example. We are the only Bible that a lot of people will ever read or see. So how about you show them the King James Version? Don't cut out pieces. Live it all and live it free. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn? Front bench. Front bench is up.
55.
And number 55. You can stand if you like or stay seated.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
sung like we're really going to be there when the roll's called up yonder. But as a whole, we don't need to be seeking. But individually, we can be seeking. And when individually we're a seeking church, then the church as a whole will be seeking. Philip individually was seeking, and the church followed. So let us individually be seeking what we can do, how we can obey, and how we can stand in the gap for lost and for saved. Because there's members of this church and every church that are fighting silent battles, and they need someone interceding for them. Remember each other. Let us close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the day, for your goodness, for life and health and strength. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the saving grace, Lord, that was poured out and purchased in Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the time around your word today, for this morning service, for this time. I pray, Lord, that hearts are strengthened, we're encouraged, Lord, we're ready to face whatever it is that comes our way this week, Lord, but more importantly, that we're ready to walk the path that you have, Lord, set out for us as well. Help us, guide us in your will, Lord, just accomplish what you will. Using this church, help us to be a light. Lord, remember those families that are grieving, Lord. Just help them. We pray for a touch of comfort, especially. Lord, seek out those that are seeking you, Lord. Guide us to them. Give us the answers. Lord, show us the portions that they're reading, Lord, and teach us in them, Lord, so that we can, like Philip, preach Christ unto them through that portion of your word. Bless this church as you have done, Lord. We're thankful for it. For you, for each one here, guide and lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.